The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. I'm Justin, not John by John, and thanks for joining me. And this day, the 15th, remember this day, okay? The 15th of November, 2023, will always be known as a day, well, it's like Vaccine Day. Remember 2 years ago, almost Vaccine Day was, when they came up with the Vox, was it Novartis or Pfizer? I can't remember which one it was now. But all the markets rose. All the markets. Huge surge in liquidity came into the markets. Money inflow. And that was a change in the market, the big sell-off that happened in the COVID. This is that day. This is that day. Yesterday, the Russell 2000 was up by over 5.44%. That's small cap index. And that's been hammered. In fact, I'll show you the chart here. Let's look at AIM first, shall we? Let's look at AIM first. There's AIM. It's up over 7% from its low. Yes, it's the start. It's, you know, it's not a huge rally yet, but it's literally 12 out of 14 days, it's been up, okay? It's now hitting, are we on the 50-day moving average? Let's have a look here. There we are, above the 50-day moving average. Like I said, it hasn't that for a long time. You know, last time it did that, it rose about 15%, but did come back down. So we'll see if it can continue. But I'm quite optimistic. And of course, these are all about inflation figures and CPI. America yesterday came in below forecasts. And in the UK, 4.6% year on year to October. Forecast was 4.8, previously 6.7. So it's going in the right direction. And I know that, you know, the global economy isn't tickety-boo. It's not. I've said this many times. In fact, yesterday, and I've said many times, they're going to have a Santa rally. People laughed at me, said, no, it's silly, because it was so bearish. That's the best time to have a Santa rally, when it's so bearish, when it's been so low for a long time. But I do think we'll have a rolling over going into Q1, but that was because of bad economic data. But again, that's positive for central banks, because the medicine that they're putting into the economy is working, slowing things down. That's what they want. And they get to the stage where it'll be a little bit worrying, and I think the figures will come out even further and faster. Inflation will drop even faster, and they'll start to worry a bit. And they'll worry about deflation, because China's got that. And then they'll stimulate. And the markets, I believe, will do really, really well in 2024. And if you looked at that chart I showed a few days back, never, in fact, a guy, I was watching CNBC yesterday, and a guy was on there, follow stats and figures. And I thought he'd watch this, because he said about the Russell 2000s, 2 years down, whenever it's done that, he said, going back as long as you can, it's always had a blowout year the next year. So AIM, I think, is in for a blowout 2024. It'll start off a little bit damp. I think we may have an early Santa rally, but it may peter out a little bit for quarter one. But then I think the rest of the year will be a massive return, historical return for AIM All Share Index. That's what I think. What do you reckon? Have we seen the bottom? Yay or nay? Let me know. And by all means, if you like the content of this live webinar, hit that thumbs up. Subscribe. I think we're at a round figure here. But our subscriber numbers are going up, and hopefully they keep going up. And we'll keep doing this as long as they keep going up. And there we are. Okay, I did have a comment here yesterday from George. And I said, you can come. If you listen to this on the podcast later on, or later on a catch-up, you can still comment, and I will pick them up. But I'm not quite sure what George was saying. George was, the way to end inflation is to end counterfeiting. Money creation without product creation is inflation. Make investments to survive. And he's got some recycling symbols there. I'm not sure he's here. And I mentioned this before, by the way. Vox Markets has an app. It's a wonderful app. It's free to use, and it delivers RNSs straight to the front screen of your smartphone. Just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/app. By the way, are we seeing this guy? Oh, can you see him? What is that? It's almost that AI, that is. That's amazing. Look at that. Literally makes it disappear. Like my mic. I got a microphone here. You can't see it. It colors in the background. That's the power of AI. Wow. The bull, that was. Is the bull coming back in? What do you reckon? Is the bear dying? Let me know. I think it is. It's, I mean, markets don't go straight up. You know, it'll rally. But when you see all the indices like this rally strongly, it's very bullish. Very bullish indeed. Just encourages money to come back in the markets as well. P6 Jedi and John Stocks. Ho, ho, ho. Yes. Super Mono, ho, ho, ho. Emmy, FTSE at 250, up around 11-12% in the last few weeks. Yeah, well, do you know what? I just posted out a tweet on the FTSE 250 about a couple of hours ago. But I'll show you what it is now. I mean, literally, it is up over. Look at that. The 200-day moving average. I mean, it has done that before and rolled back down. But is this the bottom? It's too early to say, but I believe it is. Just a gut feeling. I think we've been sold off for so long now. And in fact, if we look at the 250, let's see how much that's gone up. I think it's up like 12% in the last 19 days. That's calendar days, of course, not trading days. So it's doing very well there. And in fact, I think my FTSE 350 fund is doing quite well today, 1% and yesterday. So it's going in the right direction, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where John is. Hopefully John will be here soon. We have seen the bottom. This is Ben. Ooh, I say, have you? Keep it clean. I've been buying like crazy since summer. Have you? How much money have you got? Been buying like crew. Buy. Well, I think you're ahead of the curve there, but latest buy was M&C Saatchi, really. Have Vox forgotten to pay John? No, I think it's a fallout from. I think he had a problem with floods and it's impacted something, so he's sorting out. Dagger 888. Yes, we bottomed out. There will be a buying frenzy on oversold stocks. Now, I know a couple of people said, you know, on that chart, I showed a few. Like, it wasn't a chart; it was a spreadsheet. I went through from 2002 on the AIM All share, and I said it's never seen two negative years apart from the Great Financial Crash. After that, it rallied very strongly, 64%, I think, and 42%. Two consecutive years. That's going to happen in 2024. I almost guarantee it. I almost guarantee it. So I don't, you know, there will be ups and downs. I said it'll fizzle out and people say, oh, going back to the lows. No, I believe we've seen the bottom. It's hard to pick a bottom, of course. but there we are. Let's look at the front page of Vox, see what's happening here. So we got here, AFC Energy and Speedy Hire launch Speedy Hydrogen Solutions joint venture. Oh, very exciting. And let's look at AFC. What's the 102 million? I do like what they're doing, AFC. I mean, they are seemingly pushing ahead, always moving forward. Oh, in fact, the chart isn't always moving forward. It's going down. There we are. Yeah. It's trying to tick up, look, it's not quite doing it. That's AFC there. In fact, let's go to the front to the list here. The lists are always important to look at. Most followed COD, the billion news out, Atlantic Lithium, rejection of non-binding indicative offers. Good news there. GSC, I saw someone ramping that on Twitter yesterday. Camel. But Verici is worth looking at. I think it is. It did sneak into one of the most read, I think. It just dropped out there. But Verici, of course, so they're coming initially focused on the kidney transplantation market. And they use next generation sequencing, made a fine personalized risk for kidneys. It's a big market. But this is very interesting. And they needed this really up 65% a day. Commercialization agreement with Thermo Fisher. That's a company, not a bloke. But they're going to want to, the world leader in serving science, develop an assay for pre-transplant prognostic testing for the risk of early kidney rejection. And so they've got the right to develop assay for pre-transplant risk assessment for this, and license agreement includes an upfront payment to the company, which I know it will be a good for, you know, shareholders, a relief to some shareholders. I know the cash balance was trickling down, loss-making company, of course. They're about to commercialize their IP, which is very good. But they got, along with a number of further payments conditional upon operational deliverables related to technology transfer and related publications. And I think this is what swung the deal. In addition, Verici DX has granted Thermo Fisher a non-exclusive license for access to a portion of the company's urine samples. That's what swung it. Let's be honest. You could have a portion of the company's urine samples. I assume those are samples from patients, yeah? Not the board. But anyway, demonstrating the additional value in the company's data and sample assets for research. Under the agreements or arrangements, payments to Verici over the next 12 months are expected to total approximately $5 million, with a further payment thereafter, in addition to ongoing royalties on tests sold. So it's very good news there, a welcome boost for Verici holders, because I know he's been, you know, grinding down. And look at that, still under the 200-day moving average there, but sort of broken that 50-day. You know, you can see here on the chart, a bit of support there, which was broken, and now it's trying to get above that. Be nice to close above 9p, hopefully. But how far did it go today? Wow. It went up to 11p. That was over 100% today. Wow. That's how microcaps can move. And when we start the bull market proper, you'll see a lot of that happening. That's why I invest, apart from my fund, it's IP-rich nano microcaps, because they can really move, really move. You're talking literally, you know, double digits, even triple digits in a day sometimes. But sometimes you don't want that, because it'll get sold into. A nice rise throughout the months is what you need. Okay, anything else on Voxer? Let me just quickly catch up on any comments. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong chat there. Can't scroll down. Let me just scroll on this one. Yes. Might there be an acquisition frenzy driven by corporate FOMO if shares start going up? Could be. That's it. I mean, you know, I say it's about momentum, isn't it? When everything starts to rise, because of the bottom of the market, money starts coming back in. It drives it back up, you know, and then attracts more money. Rising stocks, you know, attract buyers. And so that's what you get. Fear of missing out. Massive. And I agree. The AIM will be spectacular next year. Supermono. Some very good companies in amongst the dross. I purchased some JHD James Halstead this morning. Alan, Future, looking good, having now broken up through 200-day moving average. Yeah, I've been looking at Future. I haven't done anything that I've... let's look at James Halstead, GHD. Let's have a look at that on the chart. Let's bring up the chart. There we go. There we are. Well, you can see there, you know, always think, when you look at a chart, right? Let's take the 50-day moving average off a second. Always picture in your head, if you can, you know, there's three situations a chart can be in. Three scenarios, three formats. One, downtrend. Avoid. Two, range. Not so bad. You know, is you in a dividend-paying stock, you're collecting the thing as long as the range holds. Three, uptrend. So we've got a downtrend. You can see that. You can see that's pretty much a range going up and down. It's come down. And then we're back in a sort of range here. It's trying to break above that. What you want to do is a close above these, a higher high would be a close above 225. You know, but close above that would be quite good. Future's a very interesting looking chart. For a long time, I've had my eye on Future. I've jumped in and out on fake breaks. And but I think if I'm going to get into Future, I'm probably going to wait till the results come out. Because it's one of these, you know, super stocks previously has been an amazing stock. It's in the end, it's an ad. There is a little bit of worry about AI, but I think they're adopting AI. I think it'll help them. And, you know, they're a source of quality content. And I think that'll help them a lot. But you can see there, you know, it's come down from, what, 39, 40 quid a share, broke the 200, look at that spike down. That was a warning sign. Well, on in, down there, whoosh, bounced back up. Then it broke. Trying to break that, then it broke. How many warning signs do you want? Broke down, three times. And now it's come all the way down here, Future. And literally, look at that. Uh-oh. And where are we? There's a gap there. I've drawn lines all over this. Look at that there. You can pretty much say that's looking quite good. I mean, it's good to go, almost. I mean, it would be interesting to see. They did a trading update that would be in line with expectations about a month back, I think. But it'd be nice to see the warts and all results they're coming out with in, when is this actually? In 14 days. Next report, 14 days. So that's interesting. But, yeah. But it is, you know, like I said, you can see there a series of, higher lows, a breakup from the previous range, and now it's trying to break that range. Will it get to, I think some of the brokers have targets on that. Where is it? Let me have a look here. Forecasts. So the forecast here, a maximum of 143% up. The average is 57% up. That's because one of the brokers Obviously, they've been sacked or something, but they've given it an 8.27 price target. So, but I think, you know, once you get momentum behind that, it could do very well. In fact, with my okay. Ricci, that's good news of Ricci there. Paul talks about Ricci there. Ricci soars on licensing deal with Thermo Fisher. Hemogenics, pharmaceuticals, a clear path for lifting FDA clinical problems. So they've got this IND, which is investigation new drug application. Now they had an issue with the FDA, which is about splice variants. As agreed with the FDA, before the resubmission of the IND, the company will perform an additional process qualification run of the end-to-end process for the manufacture of hemoCAR T cells using the new LVV. We'll now put this process into effect. I read some RNSs and I think it's in a different language, isn't it? But they know what they're talking about. That's the main thing, isn't it? It's not incumbent on me to understand the technology, I suppose. Hemogenics. Well, it's a bit of a spiky one, this. Bit of a spiky, but it's look at that, spiked it above 200-day moving average, and now it's trying to break that previous high. I think it has a little bit. So who knows? Obviously, with loss-making companies, you have to realize how much cash they have. Anyone know how much cash they have? It's always worth knowing. Let's have a look. Have a look at Gleason. Yes, no, I got so many alerts today. So many alerts on the chart. I just couldn't keep up with it. Normally, what I do of an evening is I'm giving you a little insight into my exciting evenings now. Normally, what I do of an evening is go through my alerts and reset them or delete them if they're not relevant. But some of the alerts I had this morning, I mean, look at them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, Jupiter 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, even H&L, 19, Hargreaves Lansdown. Let's look at that. Hargreaves Lansdown break, which is a biggie, of course. But I'm sure Gleason was in there. They are. It's not convincing yet. It's an early break, you know, on the Hargreaves Lansdown. But nevertheless, you know, it's done it before. In fact, it's quite a spiky looking chart, even for a big stock, which suggests there may be some shorting going on. But Gleason, let's have a look at Gleason a second here. MJ Gleason. Yes, look at that. Now, hey, you see what I'm saying? MJ Gleason provides affordable housing, by the way, one of the house builders. And I imagine quite a few, well, look at the other charts of others in a moment. But I imagine British Land, by the way, doing very well. They're bouncing. You know, you can see that. People are saying charts don't work. What are you talking about? They don't work. What are you talking about? Look at that. If you just have paid attention to the 200-day moving average, right, and then new highs. So you can see it broke, and it came back down. Didn't really break. This is, if you look at previous highs, that's previous high. Then we got lower. So you have lower highs, okay, this downward channel. And now this here, like I said, the last two previous highs, it's above a 200-day moving average, and, you know, you literally got these two previous highs here. And it's broken that. So I'm not saying it's going straight up. It may come down, bounce along this level a bit, but that's a very good start. Well done, Mr. Gleason. MJ, his name is. Michael Jackson Gleason. So well done for that. That's good. Let's look at Taylor Wimpey. Let's look at some of the house builders. Yeah. Again, look at Taylor Wimpey there. That previous high is here, pretty much at 130, trying to get up there. Persimmon's been sold off the most of the big house builders. I said the most of the big ones. Like that, 200 day there. And even that, look at that, 200 day. And previous highs there, maybe there. There's a gap there. It's trying to get above that at 1282. But the market is turning, isn't it? See now, we're starting to see many a stock. And the house builders, you know, are a barometer for the market, aren't they? If they start to turn, and I did, in fact, there's some news out today about mortgage wars going on, two further house lenders are reducing their mortgage rates. And if that's the way forward, you know, if going forward now, the only direction for interest rates is down, then of course mortgages will come down, loans to buy cars will come down, everything will come down. And I'm not saying people will go crazy, because they're still at, you know, interest rates are still at quite high levels compared to the last 20 years. And they're still quite expensive if you look back at the last 20 years. But nevertheless, it'll, you know, it'll stop the economy completely dying. And so, because it, you know, I'm not going to say it's completely dying, but it'll give a bit of life to the economy, you know, house building and loans being cheaper, all that stuff. Okay, that's hemogenics there. Let's scroll down. This is the most read, helium one. Hang on a sec, let me just share the screen. Helium 1 operation update. Now, I was looking at this and, oh my word, because the last two operation updates did, they got their drill bit stuck in the hole or something, haven't they? It hasn't gone well. Because see straight away, up 6.93%. Company has now successfully, thank goodness, pulled the drill string out of the hole. There we are. And wireline operations and initial logins underway. Downhole sampling to commence once logging is complete, with capability for on-site analysis. And Lorna says the team on-site have done an outstanding job working innovatively and proactively to ensure we're able to successfully pull the drill string out of the hole. How innovatively do you have to work to pull a drill string out? I don't know. Maybe they have been. This surpassed all expectations, and we're delighted now to be in a position of having commenced wireline operations and planning downhole sampling. Well, that's exciting, isn't it? Hey. I still think that, you know, it's underperformed here on the chart, isn't it? Helium one. Yeah, look at that. It's, you know, this is the hype of why it's most read. You know, it literally, the reason why people are following this is that it went from, I can't even see that. Hang on. It did 336%, you know, back in 2021. People are hoping for a revisit of those highs, hopefully. And that's why that is most well read. Will it happen? Then if you ask a shareholder, they'll say yay. I don't know. There's a truth for answer to that. What else? Atlantic Lithium. This is good. Good news for those guys. I mean, they did announce the new licensing yesterday, of course. And today they've rejected a non-binding offer, or NBO. NBO. To acquire NBO. Yeah, okay. 33 pence was the rejected offer, by the way. So, you know, jumping towards that, they've said they've turned it down because it undervalues the company, and they believe it can produce, obviously, more shareholder value than that. I would think so as well. I mean, if you look at the broker forecast going forward, I think in about a couple of years' time, they're talking about like 700 million, I think, Australian dollars of top line. So, you know, once you get the mines up, they can be very profitable, especially if they're low cost. And so, you know, you would assume they produce a lot more shareholder value than 33 pence. But let's have a look at the old chat. If there's any company news out there you've seen that I haven't covered, let me know by all means, you know, because a lot of times on Vox, a lot of small stocks are followed, and we may miss some sort of bigger stock news. So let me know. Obviously, we haven't got time to go into in-depth look at financial reports, but we can do top line. It needs to break down. Look, it's failing to break that 200 moving average, which is 27 pence. I think it'll get there sooner or later. They are progressing nicely. They're pushing it along, moving forward. Always keep moving forward. Hemogenics, Asia Met, Strategic Placing. These guys now own, who is it? The Delta Dunia Makmu. They now own, they sort of $4 million at a 5.3% discount. They now own approximately 34.5% of the company. And they say AsiaMet is incorporated in Bermuda and therefore not subject to the UK City Code on takeovers and mergers. There we are. I think the CEO has also subscribed for 4 million shares as well in the placement. So private placement there. I suppose, is that still in the market? So you have private placements? You know. What else is there? Blue Star Capital, as it's covered up here, initiate process for the potential sale of Satoshi Pay. I'm still the Blue Star of the thing here. It's been a bit downturn, bit of a downtrend like everything else. Let's bring that into focus. Did spike up massively. Look at that. That's doing the bull market, right? Look at that. That's the difference. That's the difference between, you know, the bull market and bear market. And times in the bull market, it literally can go from this to this, which is what? 405%. And then the biggest rallies you get in the bear market is this. Pretty much what double that four times. But yeah, that's the difference. The liquidity when it comes back in the market, that's what microcaps are like. Helium One, Audioboom launched a new AdVet creator tool, up 10%. This is a new proprietary tool for creators that automates the booking of premium host-read advertising. It's been rolled out to 200 podcasts on the Audioboom Creator Network following a successful test phase during which transactional times for bookings were reduced by more than 60%. Of course, another area, like I said, you know, we're talking about feature, by the way, PLC, another area that's going to rebound that's been hammered strongly is advertising. And in fact, if you look at Google, actually, Google's last quarterly report, so I think it was 10% up pretty much on the quarter previously, so they're not suffering too much, but it will be a lift for most people in this space. So, you know, future, all that. Helium One. So any sort of little comments before I discuss some more stuff here? It'd be interesting to compare future with Money Supermarket. Yeah, different kind of model, though. I mean, Money Supermarket, you know, do sort of savings. I mean, future do a lot of sort of tech, how to, you know, best tech and all that stuff. But also they do have, what else they have? GoCompare. So future own GoCompare. Money Supermarket, of course, are more in that space. In fact, you'd think they could buy GoCompare or future. Bit of cash there. There was rumors that future was selling. Was there B2B stuff? Or I think it was. That hasn't come. Maybe obviously in this market, it wouldn't be a good price for it. Barici. Rob says, good news, but after checking the latest accounts, they are short of money. With high cash burn, today's announcement of 5 million over the next 12 months should help. Yeah, I mean, there was worry about their cash resources. They've got enough now, this is ME says, to get them through to the end of 2024. I like in-chat discussion. It's very good, that. I can just dip in and out and look at your discussion there. You have to convince Paul Hill on the merits of charting on your next podcast. I will do. He's blind to it. Listen, when people are blind to something, they won't listen. They will not listen. Like, I don't see how you can deny charts. It's actually just all it is a pictorial representation of money flow. That's what it is. You know, so go with the momentum. You know, would you go surfing when there's no surf? No. Or would you try to surf up a river? No. Don't make no sense. You must wait for the momentum. Look at the momentum. Anyway. Similarly, Gleason, I reckon Henry Boot is primed to move up. Well, let's look at Boot. There we go. Boot. Henry. Henry Boot. Oof. That is the charts a bit. Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of companies being hammered now. We're going to find. You're not going to rally strongly, but they'll maybe form a nice bottom, you know, and. Well, news like that, eh? Oh yeah, I mean, it's like I say, it's broken 50-day quite a few times. I tried to. It's not convincing yet. Yeah. Me, not convinced. Not convinced. What else? Lemon Physical. Let's get physical. Physical. Lemon Physical. Let me hear your body talk. Your latest thoughts on Wincanton chart, Justin. Let's have a look at Wincanton. There's some more stuff I want to cover on the front page of Vox a second. Wincanton. Is there a, what am I doing here? Is there a race course at Wincanton, isn't there? I think what's race course? Yeah, like that. That's good looking good, isn't it? I mean, there is that big, massive... Look at that. Look at that. You tell me charts in real. Big gap down here, right? So support levels, big gap down. And now it's bouncing its head right on those previous support levels, you know, below that gap down. But I do like this, you know, series of higher lows. It needs to break this and get above. Once it does, it'll be quite nice. But you've got, you know, almost golden cross happening here. The 50-day cross and 200-day. It's quite nice. What's the size of Wincanton? Wincanton? 350. They offer supply chain management solutions, offering general warehousing and fleet management. It has around 52 warehouses in the UK and has operations in 15 countries with over 28,000 staff worldwide. Mm. So yeah, again, the worry about this, for many companies, the economy is not going to get any stronger for a while. This is where we have to separate the economy from the markets, you know? And the markets are sort of central bank driven. And if the markets are suggesting, if central banks are suggesting we're now at peak rates, then of course the next movement is going to be down. So the markets are sort of trying to price this in, but they may rally too strongly. And if they're going to stay higher for longer, the markets have to correct. That's where come corrections, you know, it's about future cash flows and all this stuff. They're trying to price that in. So and trouble is that the markets are driven largely by humans, which are overly emotional, so overbuy and oversell. But they'll have to try and correct that. So I'm not saying, we're not out of the woods on the economy front, because there may be several businesses still suffering for a long time. So if interest rates are higher for longer, then they will still suffer. And if interest rates come down, they're not going to come down quickly, but it's just a sniff or the whiff of that being the next move is good for the markets, you know? And remember, if they do start to suggest May or summertime, then the markets are going to rally, because then going beyond that, they're just going to come down again, because they're only going to bring them down if the economics suggest that, the economy is not good. They'll bring them down on weakness or the depth of inflation, but they're always wary inflation may, stoke back up. So Wincanton, sorry. Half year results. What do they say here? Lack of growth there, lack of growth all throughout there, but I don't know what the valuation is like. Underlying is this share, profit before tax, 22. What's this? Interims. 6 months, so on a rough rule of thumb, double that, 40 million, that's a PE of 10, pretty much. There we are. So, it seems okay, value-wise. I want to look at it quickly on the front page here. What's annoying is a day like this, where you have, a nice sort of inflow coming in, is when you're a faller. But having said that, Origo, very interesting company. I don't know if the first time I discovered this company or heard about them was when I was just walking the dog, and they were on, I think it was Sky Business Podcast or Radio 5 Live, Wicked to Money. And they do automated vehicles in international airports. So they're a leading international provider, and they're British based, quite like them. They design, engineer, and manufacture. This is the idea of autonomy, helping productivity, by using vehicles rather than humans, like in baggage areas and all that stuff. And they've got contracts with they've done a placing, by the way, at £1 for £3.5 million. Not a lot. It's worth checking out the cash burn. But I do like the tech. I like they've got these baggage handling things. And what are they doing? They've got a deal happening with, I think, Singapore Airport. But they've also got deals with East Midlands Airport, with IAG, which is, of course, British Airways. East Midlands Airport is like the second biggest, largest cargo airport in the UK. I think that's right. I think I read that. But they're a very interesting company. So as yet, they're one of these companies that, valuation-wise, they're a little bit out of kilter. They're overvalued, maybe. But you're looking at what's going to happen in the future. So if you look at the interim results. But it's interesting to see how much they're burning here and how much this lasts. Because they did EBITDA loss. Only 1.6. Okay. That's not a lot. So their cash burn, which is odd because they're building these machines that are autonomous vehicles. You'd think they'd be a lot more expensive than that. I just think one for your watch list there, maybe for the future. If you see that automation in that way getting bigger, and I do think that's going to happen. I don't know what the competition is like that market, though. I mean, how many people are doing that? I don't know. But they seem to be winning some nice contracts in the UK. Anything else here? Reanalytics still falling. Of course, we highlighted the cash burn. I think it was 10.3 million in a quarter, and they had about 19 left. I thought, well, they've done that. They're through it, unless they've gone again horizontally. That's getting increasingly perilous for them. The further that share price falls, the funding's going to be harder. So it's a little bit worrying. Quadrise, perennial, non-pleaser. anything else you've seen, ladies and gentlemen? HE1, never invest in a hole in the ground in Africa unless it's full of diamonds already. Yeah, I know what you mean. Neil, thank you. Surface Transforms is doing a fundraise. Yeah, I know. I like this game. Again, Surface Transforms a little bit. Well, it's not. No, it shouldn't compare. But again, I never understood the valuation of Surface Transforms. And it's quite worrying. Super Mono, forget Fury Usyk. We need Weight versus Hill. Pay-per-view. Winner, chicken dinner. Yeah. Well, I'm going to win because, if you look at... we do one tomorrow, I think. I'll show Paul in the chart. Why you shouldn't have picked those stocks at that level and why you should. It's simple. Even if you just use a 2-day moving average. Just the fine-tuning element of it, I think Usyk would beat Fury. I mean, I've been saying that for a long time, even before the last fight that Fury done, because I think Usyk is... He's a good fighter. He's hard to hit and he can take a punch. Lemon Physical, thank you. Never heard of Perico. I will check them out. Yeah, check them out. I mean, I don't think they've got profitability on the horizon yet, but they seem to have, what's their IP? That's something special. They're quite small. Is the market big? Can they scale? I mean, there is manufacturing there, so that's quite, capital intensive, but nevertheless, I do quite like what they're doing. Down on fundraise. They've raised that money. Anything else? One of my stocks has had some news out. Well, I've got to mention it. If I don't, no one else will. I'm surprised it's not one of the most read, actually. And I may actually do a video on the weekend of my own. But Silver Bullet, there we are. I don't know if you look at this. I don't want that costume. What? Look at this. Why am I being advertised? I don't wear this stuff. Etsy, I don't wear this. Thanks, love, but I don't want that. So launch of AI-powered insights platform. And I don't know if you're aware what's happening in the cookie world, but the deprecation of cookies is happening. Third-party cookies where companies who follow you on the internet advertise to you, like Etsy's doing there. That can't happen anymore. And in fact, if they knew what I looked at, I wouldn't be targeted that. So I don't know why I'm being targeted that lady in a devil costume, because it's not accurate. But they got this 4D contextual AI platform that sits on demand-side, sell-side programmatic platforms. And so if people want to get better return on the advertising, they can use their AI product to see which websites to target to get better return on the investment. Anyway, so they've done these, over 100 campaigns in 2023 so far. And these are the sort of insights so far. It delivered 174%, 244%, and 147% improvement respectively on client measured KPIs and benchmarks, which is huge. If if you use their AI stuff and you get that kind of better return on your investment using their product to target websites rather than someone else's, then it's huge. But anyway, what's telling about this? So it was very interesting. Is there comments from the CEO, Silver Bullet? Yes. But the programming director of Omnicom Media US, I don't know why his name's not there, but he says, we are delighted with the power of 4D, which is their product, which has been delivering outstanding results for our clients and exceeding KPI benchmarks. 2023 has been a great year for utilizing 4D's AI-driven. Now, okay, so he loves it. Well, just look up Omnicom, and you've got to look them up. They're one of the biggest advertising agencies in the world. I think they're the fourth biggest, second biggest, apparently, in the US. They've got like $14 billion of revenue. If Silver Bullet plugged into this company, that's huge. I think it's huge. People are missing that. I just think it's massive. But anyway, do some research on that. I'm going to be biased. People are saying, wrap my own socks, rampy, rampy, rampy. But I just think it's a huge area, cookie-less going on, deprecation of cookies. You've got to have an alternative way of targeting advertisers. And they've got this product that's been, lauded by one of the biggest advertising agencies around. Anyway, that's Silver Bullet there. Sorry, I'm biased. What else is there? Just a couple of business stories. Inflation fell sharply in October. We know that. The government taking credit for it. The government haven't done anything. They've done nothing at all. Maybe they've helped in not stimulating the economy. But the central bank is independent. So the central bank are raising rates. So everything's slowing down anyway. But any credit, it goes towards central banks. But I mean, they're pretty over tightened now. But anyway, the government said, we say we get it down to half, but also it's just a matter of maths. You know, like I said, energy prices cap has dropped out. And in fact, back in October last year, you know, there was the biggest monthly rise in inflation, and so that's dropped out now. ONS says house prices first. I don't know, we get some multiple sources from RICS, from Rightmove, but the first drop annually for house prices in 2012. So that's interesting. But rents have risen by 6.1% in the 12 months of October. And there we are. That's what I talked about earlier. HSBC and Halifax cut mortgage rates as price war continues. I think Nationwide, the biggest, are they? And Lloyds, so that. And Halifax and HSBC in the UK are up there, of course, top five, I think, top five big boys or big girls, whatever you say. But look at this, prompting hopes of deals could some get close to 3%. So far, 5-year fixed rate mortgages of 4.53 with a grand upfront fee and 60% loan to value. But this guy, Ashley Thomas, that's from Magni Finance, said lenders are getting more aggressive with rate cuts. I wouldn't be surprised to see rates below 4% by the end of the year. Wouldn't be surprised by that. He wouldn't be surprised. If you told him, really? I thought you said you wouldn't be surprised. No, I'm not really. But he said the next inflation data will be crucial for mortgage lenders. And in fact, this was released, I think, just before late yesterday, I think this bit of news. Expect a lot of rates to reduce if inflation drops significantly. So we're going to see, you know, mortgage rates come down and loan rates come down, which will help the economy a little bit, stimulate, you know, a bit more spending money. What we don't want to do is, of course, bring inflation back up. But there we are. Okay, anything else? Anything else on the comments there? On the comments. About ad tech, Team Internet looks like they're doing all right. Yeah, previous Central Nick. I did look at the figures yesterday. Have they just been lost? I did look at them. I think it's too big for me. They're called Team Internet now. Yeah, I know they've done well, largely on top line growth, but I'm not convinced. I don't know why. 336 is market cap there. Let's have a look. Maybe I'm wrong. 9 months audited revenue there. Gross revenue increased by 16% to 611. Net adjusted EBITDA 68. Increased EPS. Net debt of 81. I don't like that. I've got net debt of 81 million. Are they still making loss, though? Or adjusted? Doesn't say anything about... they're saying this figures. If they get news out, the full results, I'll put them through the old spreadsheet. What's it called? Team Internet. Yes. Oh, yeah, there's a bit of a range there. I know they've done well, recently. Oh, well, in fact, they've... Sort of. Okay-ish. Yes. It's... High low. Where's it going next? But, I mean, I don't know what they're doing there. They could be, do well when economies, spark back up, I suppose. But just a little bit too big of a market cap for me. There we are. Anything else? Any more? If you could get rid of all the Temu adverts in my internet machine, that would be amazing. The song is in my head. It's everywhere. Angry face. Temu. What's that? Temu? I've not seen that. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in. Maybe John will be back tomorrow. Who knows? The mystery of the appearance of John. Where's Johnny? Maybe you should say that. Like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Here's Johnny. Hopefully, maybe you'll be back tomorrow. Maybe not. Who knows? But thank you for tuning in. Much appreciated. If you could hit that like button, I really much appreciate that, because apparently, they like that on YouTube. And if you could share it with people, everyone, dogs, cats, mice, everything like that. And of course, subscribe to the channel. That shows us, that we are, because literally, we get a huge amount of engagement compared to the subscribers we have. You look at some channels, they got literally 1% of the subscribers watch the channel. Ours is completely different. It's like 10, 12%, 20%. So, So I know you're watching. So please hit that subscribe button. And of course, as a gift to you from Vox, the free market, free Vox Markets app, download that. VoxMarkets.co.uk/app. And it's free to use. RSS come straight to the smart front screen of your phone. Come on, fella. Here we go. My wife bought this from back from New York, which we knew of me. The ball. It's coming. Cheers. Speak tomorrow. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.